Welcome to the PMPA's Speaking of Precision podcast, featuring your hosts, Carly Kistler-Miller, David Wynn, and Miles Free.
Hi, I'm David Wynn, and welcome to PMPA's Speaking of Precision podcast. Carly Kistler-Miller and Miles Free has joined me today, and we're going to discuss the ISO standard insert charts. Welcome, Carly. Welcome, Miles.
Thank you.
Thanks, David.
All right, so I know these are your Craftsman crib sheets.
They are. The Craftsman crib sheets have been going on for like 5 months now.
Yes, and we're going to give a shout out to Doreen Davis here at PMPA because he made them beautiful.
He made them understandable. Yep.
Doreen took my gobbled up mess and made them gorgeous. He should have been the co-author.
We should have put that on there. But, okay, so what are these charts?
So just about all of us in manufacturing are using ISO standard inserts. If you're in machining, you're using ISO standard inserts. The problem is that there's a whole range of different insert types and shapes and relief angles, and there's a whole system to identify that, and it's not really easy to find it. Some catalogs have it in there, some don't. You know, you can find it on a few websites, but I thought it would be great to put them together all in one place, have a printout that they could hang on the wall in the tool room.
So this is like the secret decoder ring, except that you can't wear it. It's on a sheet of paper, right?
Yeah, and this time you're not going to get Ovaltine.
Woo! And we've all dated ourselves. All right, well, you had several of them, so there must be a lot of
varieties.
Thank you.
Yeah, there's a whole series of different things. And so I did ISO inch turning, which is your English standard turning inserts, ISO metric turning, which is metric standard. It's a little different than the inch. Did the same thing for milling. Now, on the threading inserts, there's only metric threading inserts, which seems kind of bizarre, but that's just how it works. They're all designed around a metric system, even though you can't have English pitches inside the metric threads.
Okay, so well, I saw the charts. Of course, I don't know what I'm looking at. But there are a lot of ABCs and 1-2-3s and all that. So is that what these charts are trying to help identify?
Yeah, so when you look at an insert, so I'm going to use a standard inch turning insert. So when you look at a standard inch turning insert, there's common shapes that you're going to see. And almost all the inserts, whether it's turning or milling, have this shape paradigm. So there's four letters that designate. The first one designates the shape of the insert. So for instance, a C, that's a very common shape. That is an 80-degree rhombus. And so a lot of, like, in our industry, on the Swiss machine, CCMT, that's a common insert. And so when you look at the letter M in your second section, that tells you the clearance. Or, I'm sorry, C. I said M.
CC, skipped a
so
C.
7-degree. I skipped a letter. What's wrong with me? I can't even read my own notes.
All right, so the first C is the 80-degree rhomboid.
Rhomboid. So that's the shape. It looks like a diamond.
Right. Okay.
And, you know, most people call them diamond inserts. And then the second C tells you that you have a 7-degree relief angle in the front of the part. So.
And that's important because without that angle, it would rub. So
yeah, exactly.
Different materials require more relief.
Oh, okay. All right, so you finally got through your two C's. Then your M?
Then my M is the tolerance level. And so that tells you the tolerance for, there's a little blueprint on the charts you can see, and there's three different dimensions, and it tells you the tolerance level. So the M is more like a pressed insert, but you can get tighter tolerance inserts if you have something that's really critical or you need the ground finish to break chips and that type of thing. You can go to a ground insert, which has really tight tolerances in all those dimensions. And there's a whole slew, and to be honest with you, there's probably, out of that chart of like 15 different tolerance levels, there's only a couple that are usually used. And a lot of people start with pressed inserts, so M is a standard tolerance.
Okay, so we've got shape, relief angle, tolerance, and then what else?
And then the last letter designates your chip breaker and your fixing. Now, most manufacturers ignore the chip breaker portion of this, and they actually put their own proprietary chip breakers at the end. So like RP is a common one for Walter, LF is a common one for Kennametal, and so that's usually at the end of the string. They kind of ignore this next section for chip breakers, but they use it to designate the top shape of the insert and then how it's going to be put into the holder. Is it going to have a screw through the middle? Does it have a top clamp? Does the screw have a chamfer, or is it just a straight hole? And that tells you some things about how the screw's shaped. It's kind of an overly complex system for fixing, and there's a whole range of things out there, and then people have spun their own proprietary fixing, too.
You know, but that's interesting. You know, we recorded that contract review, and we talk about what's implicit, and the different ways of securing that insert imply a heck of a lot about loading and feed and you know, how secure is it? How rigid can it be? So that's an important, that's not one to skip, regardless of what they're doing with the chip breaker.
It really isn't. And depending on your machine, you know, in a Swiss machine, center screw, that's fine, T. But then a lot of times you're looking at like a bigger lathe, we're using bigger inserts, size 4, size 5, size 6.
Heat treat material.
They'll have a center screw with a top clamp as well. And that's like double security on that. And maybe have a carbide shim underneath. Some holders are just ground and hardened underneath. Some have a carbide shim to actually support the insert that lets you have more cutting pressure.
Yeah, you would need that in heat-treated materials or some high thrust applications.
Yeah, it provides you a lot more stability. Reduces that variation we talk about, and it reduces vibration. And vibration is your enemy when you're machining.
So where am I going to see these codes?
So if you go to order an insert from, you know, any supplier, so if you go to Granger and you start typing in CCMT, and for instance, let's type in CCMT 332, that's going to pull up a range of different companies that sell that ISO standard insert. So you could buy that insert from Kennametal, Seiko, ISCAR, Horn, anybody has those types of things. It's a common insert.
Okay. And then the inch and metric, that's just, they have the same definitions, right? So is it still shape and relief angle and all that? You've just converted it to metric or vice versa?
Pretty much, but they're different. So the metric inserts are actually a little different. The shapes are the same, but then the sizing, the tolerances, and how they fix and all that, some of that changes. And especially when you get down into the number portion, that's where it really changes. So as far as English inserts, we talk about the inscribed circle that insert fits into. But on metric inserts, they usually pick a side depending on the shape, and then they measure its length. So it might be 6 millimeters long, 12 meters long, 16 millimeters long, and that's how we designate the size. Yeah, and so when you look at the chart, it can get confusing. And so a lot of times shops will standardize on one set or the other. They'll only buy metric inserts, or they'll only buy English inserts.
My quality experience says yay. Standardize.
So are all, you had five charts, is that right?
Yes.
And are they all just four letters, or do they different? Are they different?
They're a little different, and so then all of the first four charts have numbers that follow that explain the inscribed circle or the millimeter distance on the edge. So, for instance, on metric turning, you'll get a chart that tells you which shape, so you know what shape you used, and it'll tell you what the length of that edge is. So, for instance, if you have a 6 millimeter long insert, which is close to a 3 size in English turning. So I'm going to jump over here so I can reference the English chart so I don't make a mistake when I say this, because I don't know it off the top of my head.
That's why you have the chart.
That's exactly right.
So you don't have to memorize this stuff.
Generally speaking, the 6 millimeter inserts are close to a 2 sized.
Okay.
Metric. 6 millimeter is close to a 2 size English, which is a quarter inch, you know, 6 millimeters, 236, quarter inch. And those are close, but they're a slightly different insert. and they're not interchangeable. So if you have metric holders, you have to use metric ISO standard. And if you have English holders, you got to use the English standard inserts.
So David, that's interesting. What do you think most of our shops with Swiss, are they using US?
I think most shops are. Most shops that I holders. Know are using the English standard turning. Yeah. And, you know, and most companies make both. Even your foreign companies like Horn and ISCAR, they make both.
Right.
So maybe the rest of the world's using metric, but here in the States, we generally use English. I think the English inserts, they're a little more difficult to read. There's more memorization than the metric inserts. If you know metric, you can kind of read a metric insert and distinguish the size by the way it is structured, because it actually tells you measurements
right.
within the code.
And then you said threading is just metric.
Yes.
But we don't know why.
It's the bizarre one. There is no English standard for threading.
So how many letters are in that one?
So threading, you get your size, which is measured along the edge. Most threading inserts that I've seen that are ISO standard are trigons. So you're measuring along the length of one flat edge. And so a standard size is a 16.
Okay.
And then you designate the cutting direction. And so it's going to be, first you're going to designate whether it's external or internal. If it's internal, it has to be cocked a certain way so that you have clearance to cut on the ID of a part. On the OD, you don't really have that problem because the radius is going around and they can be a little more flat. And then you've got your cutting direction. So it's either going to be a right or left-handed cutting direction. That doesn't designate the cutting direction of the thread itself. You can use a left-handed insert or a right-hand insert to cut both a left and right-handed thread. That depends on how you code your machine. But it designates, for instance, on a Swiss machine, we only have, depending on the size of the machine, let's say 1 inch in the guide bushing that we have a land. When I go back to thread, if I'm going more than 1 inch, when I go to the next pass, I'm going to fall out of the guide bushing and I'm going to get chatter in the beginning of that thread.
I
can use a left-handed tool to cheat and get a longer thread.
I'd like to say that in metallurgy, we don't have to cheat with left-handed tools. you could. This is getting pretty complex. We've got
it is,
handedness,
but
we've got the handedness. The handedness of the tool is not directly mandated by the handedness of the thread that's resulting, which is, you know, mind blown.
Yeah, and it's something that you don't think about. It comes up a lot in Swiss, and I think people that run Swiss machines understand this more maybe than people that run a traditional lathe, because you're not typically flipping a holder around to run it backwards to get clearance.
Or upside
in a traditional
down,
lathe.
Right?
Yeah. In Swiss, it's something we do on a regular basis.
So who's using these charts in the shop?
Anybody that is pulling inserts, you know, your regular, the shop floor performer that's running the machine, the person running the tool room, maybe somebody in quality. It's going to be people who are ordering these inserts. So you may know, okay, I go to this drawer and I pull this insert out and I don't really need to know the code. But then when it comes time to get another one, you need to know this in order to be able to tell whoever your purchaser is to get you more inserts.
So they need to print these, laminate them, and put them on the wall or hang them on a ring there in the crib.
Yeah, definitely. And, you know, let's say, you know, I don't know how many shops do this, but let's say you bought a lot of stuff at an auction and somebody goes, hey, this tool is cool, I'd like to use this. And they go to use it in a machine and then they break the insert that's in there. And now you got to figure out what this insert is. I don't even know what the tool is. So they're very handy for things like that.
Sounds like the voice of experience.
Yes, very much so.
All right, so listeners, you can find these crib sheets and print them out for yourself on PMPA.org. They were originally published in Production Machining magazine, but if you go on PMPA.org under the Knowledge Centers, you can find them under Craftsman Crib Sheets, or you could just search ISO and they'll pop up for you.
Yeah, it's numbers 121 through 125.
There we go.
Ah, starting a volume of work, David.
Well, if you have any more questions about this, I think go to the website, look over the crib sheets. It's They're very handy. There is a an accompanying crib sheet to crib sheet 121 that's a single pager like the rest of them. And that wraps up our podcast today on the introduction to the ISO turning crib sheets. For additional information, please visit pmpa.org, where you can find our knowledge centers filled with articles, webinars, more podcasts, and other resources for precision machining.
Yes, and don't forget to rate, review, and subscribe to this podcast so you won't miss one. Plus, check out our Speaking of Suppliers podcast, where we talk to PMPA technical members and learn how they can help our shops.
And if you aren't already taking advantage of a PMPA membership, be sure to check out PMPA.org and learn how we can help you thrive. And why is a PMPA membership important, Miles and Dave?
Because we are better together.
Don't forget to join us next Monday on Speaking of Precision.